Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Rich Galen is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Rich is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going back all the way back to the early part of this millennia, and he is the publisher and the writer and the chief accountant over at Mullings.com, a thrice-weekly cyber column that he produces every week, and you can be the beneficiaries of that by just subscribing there at Mullings.com. And if you're a Republican, you're going to like what he has to say. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. He's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
To be with you again.
It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Let's have a good 2010 together. What do you think?
I'm for that. Or, you know, whatever, 5770 or...
Yeah, right. Depending on that. You wrote about that in your about the calendar, the Chinese calendar.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rich, the... Talk to us a little bit about some of the impending policy things that are going on. The big one, I guess, right now is getting the health care bill done, right?
Yeah, that's the entire year. I live in Washington, and the entire, you know, official Washington is totally focused on two things. One, guys trying to blow up the airplanes with explosives in their pants, and two, the healthcare legislation, mm-hmm. and interestingly, Jim, it's getting dimmer as we're having this conversation over the past 12 hours. Two senior Democratic senators have announced that they're not going to run for re-election.
Right.
Byron Dorgan of North Dakota and Chris Dodd of Connecticut.
Were those defensive moves? Were they about to get beat anyway?
Yeah, both of them. And
yeah.
And in the Senate. This is in the.
So they declared they were being run on a rail out of town, and so they decided to get in front and act like they were leading the parade.
Yeah, that's right, and look for office space for the Dodd Consulting Group.
Right.
But what happens is in the House, there's 435 members of the House. We know that, and all of them run for re-election every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're an incumbent Republican and I'm a Democratic challenger in the House,
mm-hmm.
you will start the cycle with $1.3 million. This will all make sense here in a minute.
Right.
I will start the cycle with $1.35,
mm-hmm.
and with any luck, I may get to $100,000 total. You'll add another $500,000 during
mm-hmm.
the time. So I'm never in the game. I just
right.
never. I
the,
never.
The challenger. It's almost impossible to beat the incumbent unless there's a big
unless there's an outside swell. Influence. Right.
Yeah.
In the Senate, though, it's completely different because there's only 33, or depending upon the year, 34 Senate races. Virtually all of them are fully funded. Now,
yeah.
you as the incumbent senator might have $15 million. I may only have $8 million, but that's enough to get me in the game.
Right.
And I can, it's like having a good ground game. I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm in the game, and then we can duke it out and see what happens.
It's one of those cases where on any given day, one team can beat another.
Exactly. And
yeah.
and that's why you'll often read that in the House, they calculate the chances of maintaining control by how many seats the incumbent party already has.
Right.
In the Senate, they talk about how many seats they have to defend. And that's
mm-hmm.
why that's so different. So anyway, all that to say that given that this is happening before the Congress even comes back from its Christmas break.
Right.
The House comes back next week, the Senate the week after. This is beginning. I know that you add this to what happened in November, where Republicans won the two gubernatorial races
right.
in New Jersey, and it's beginning to play on the minds of a lot of these what they call blue dog Democrats,
yep.
and they're starting to think, you know what, I don't, I'm this is looking dimmer for me.
And folks, a blue dog Democrat is not just a Democrat who has conservative leanings. Is probably more likely to be a Democrat who is from a Republican district.
Right, a behavioral Republican.
Not necessarily
district.
Your politics, but your reality.
That's what you're facing from the folks back home.
Yeah.
And remember, it's important to remember what happened during the August recess. I mean,
yep.
those town hall meetings. You know, that may have dimmed in the public's mind But I guarantee you, these guys up here on Capitol Hill, they remember what it was like, and they don't like it at all. So you're beginning to see, and I was interested in this yesterday, that we're beginning to see murmurs that it may well be that this health care bill is not done before the State of the Union address. And if that's the case, then, I mean,
the longer it goes,
the harder it is to get it. And I'm not so. I don't think that they're nearly as sanguine about getting a bill done today that, as they were, you know, the day before Christmas when the Senate voted.
One of my predictions for 2010 was that a bill would be passed and signed along strict party lines. I hope that's one of my predictions that I miss.
Yeah, well, it's a good. You never bet on high school sports or what the Congress is going to do. Those
are
two good.
Well, there are other issues on this health care thing. There are constitutional challenges emerging too, aren't there?
Yeah, and here's, I mean, and
from,
one of the
from within and from at the state level.
Yeah, the state level, the Attorney General of South Carolina is leading the charge, and it's a Tenth Amendment issue. The Tenth Amendment more or less says that anything not specifically, no powers specifically not granted to the Congress by the Constitution are reserved for the states and
default
to the people.
Yeah,
and it's not quite as clear cut as it sounds, but that's the sense of it. That goes to the deal that they cut with Ben Nelson to say that one state never has to pay
Nebraska.
Its share of Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
and the other 49 states say, "Wait a minute, you can't do that." There's a broader issue that's beginning to kind of poke its head up like jonquils in the springtime, and that is this: that it's one thing to say you can't drive a car unless you have insurance. There's nothing in the Constitution says you got to drive a car.
Right.
So if you want to drive a car, you got to have insurance, and that's sort of part of the deal. But that's far different than saying you may not live without having insurance.
Right.
And the notion of the federal government forcing you or me or anybody else to pay money or pay a fine to have some benefit that the government insists they must offer you. My guess is not going to pass constitutional muster.
That also doesn't truck well with most Americans either.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we're a little bit more. We've got that liberty antenna that runs up every time somebody tries to do that to us, don't they?
And I mean, and when you put that on top of everything else going on, I mean, you know, we're one step away from full strip searches. You know, fly from, let's say Alabama to Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on to that thought, Rich. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the reaction, the underreaction. Now, is it going to be overreaction to the underwear bomber? And I'm going to remind you when we come back about a prediction that I made about 2 years ago and concerning underwear. We'll do that after these messages. Rich Galen is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Put on your red dress, baby.
We're back. It's 23 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And my website is that too, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog while you're there. Or just go to jimsblog.biz. That's how you can get to the blog if you want. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Check out what I've got going on there, and I hope you'll follow me. Rich Galen is our guest. He's our good friend, the publisher of and the writer and the brains behind the thrice-weekly cyber column Mullings. Mullings.com is how you can subscribe to that. And Rich, folks, there are... Rich, when World War II ended, there were 20 democracies around the world. Mm-hmm. Today, there are more than 120. And folks, one of the ways that that's happened has been through the help of people who go there without any kind of fanfare, who've gone to those countries and helped them to come into the league of democratic countries. And Rich, you're making another trip. I know you went to Afghanistan to help them with their elections. You're going to the Ukraine mm-hmm. soon to help them with their elections, to be an observer, to help them get their country onto a footing where their people have some self-determination. And I just want to say that I thank you for that. I thank you for that kind of service. And that's the reason why I consider you to be a great American.
Well, that's very kind. Thanks. I think it's not quite as as dramatic as you make it. Although I would rather this be in Jakarta in the middle of winter.
Yeah, I was going to say. So the cool kids got to go to Bali, right?
That's right. Where's the place we need? Oh, let's go to Ukraine. By the way, they don't call it the Ukraine anymore. Now it's Ukraine.
Just Ukraine.
And I was telling somebody that yesterday, and he said that's like saying we're going to Bronx. I said, well, it doesn't exactly trip off the tongue.
That's funny. Well, anyway, I want to thank you I know you're probably not doing it for free, but still.
No, I am. It's just for expenses.
That's an important thing to do, and a lot of people don't realize the people like you who are giving their time to do that. And I want you to know that that's good for humanity, and I appreciate it. Okay, so now I want to talk about a prediction I made 2 years ago. I was looking at people standing in line, me having to take off my shoes, years after one person tried to, who wasn't able to blow up a shoe bomb, mm-hmm. you know, and I started saying, okay, if that guy could make us take our shoes off years after one guy tried, if we're still having to do that, we're still being terrorized by that same thing. How ridiculous could this get? And I said, what if a woman came tried to get on a plane with a bra bomb? What would they do? I mean, seriously, and I know that sounds like I'm making a joke, but seriously, how would we handle something like that?
Literally.
And so now here comes this guy with, as you call him, the tidy whitey bomb. Is it getting out of hand? At some point in time, don't we need to say it's a cruel world? Be careful.
Yeah, that's right. At some point, this is a little tougher discussion to have because it didn't work. I mean, I don't know. What the level of discussion would be if the guy had actually blown that plane up.
Can you imagine Barack Obama's relief at? I mean, never mind the disaster that was... I mean, folks, the disaster that was averted is clearly... We were so happy about that. But you got to believe that the only person who's more happy about that than the 300 people is Barack Obama.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I want to give him... I mean, I've written about this before, but my long experience with elected officials is that they take their responsibility to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the people that they represent, whether it's a mayor or a president, very seriously. So I don't doubt that he is taking this as seriously as he appears to be. The problem, I think, with this administration is that he is so distant. His demeanor is
right.
so distant that
and measured.
His supporters, even his supporters are saying, you know, geez, you got to show a little light, a little heat.
Slam your fist down on the podium or something.
Yeah, do something. I was on TV right after we got back from, we were overseas for Christmas, and I was one of the first flights back out of London with the new security mm-hmm. things. And I was on TV and with a Democratic strategist, and we were talking about the fact that it took the president 3 days to come out himself and say something.
Yeah.
And I said, look, we just want to know that he's on the job. I don't mm-hmm. doubt that he was on the phone, but what all they needed
right.
to do was to have an official White House photographer snap some photos of the president sitting in whatever the Situation Room is in Hawaii with those
right.
screens in front of him,
mm-hmm.
showing, you know, with Napolitano on the screen, showing that he was actually on the job, and everybody would have went, okay, well, he's there working. But, you know, to have him, you know, playing golf... It's just
you know, Rich. Though the only thing that I'm going to take issue with you on is I'm not trying to shoot at him here, but you said something about you believe that all these guys take this very seriously, and I agree with you. But I do take exception with the thing about appointing Napolitano as the head of the of Homeland Security. I mean, I think that's a weak appointment.
Well, I think that's right, but my guess is that at the time the thinking was. A, you get a woman. B, you get a border state governor.
Yeah.
So it was somebody who was at least familiar with the language of immigration.
How about C, a professional?
Well, you know, it's hard to find people that have done this before. Tom Ridge wasn't.
Yeah.
He was a governor.
Yeah.
Who was the second guy? I can't think of
it. Yeah.
Chertoff was
Chertoff,
a federal
yeah.
judge.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to find.
Good point. Well taken.
Yeah.
Quickly, Rich, I've literally only got 15 seconds. Do you now feel like that either one of the houses could switch power in the next election?
Yes, I think now that there is a real chance of getting the House of Representatives back.
The House back?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I would never have called that.
Yeah, I think that
that's amazing. We'll
that's
see.
That's looking very
we've recorded this. We'll call you on this later. Thanks, Rich, for being here. See you next time.
Okay, happy
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.